Hey everyone, welcome to More Than Mises, guys. This podcast is a journey through Transformers from the beginning of the animated series, with two old friends coming at it from different perspectives. Together, we will go episode by episode with the occasional extra to look at how the show holds up or if it is a trap of nostalgia. We'll be looking at all things involved in the episode, whether there are real-world factors that crept into the writing or the episode's typical afternoon cartoon fodder. I'm Evan, I'm a lifelong fan, is familiar with all aspects of the franchise and the fandom, while Ed is familiar with Transformers, but was really nothing he got into when he was younger. So thanks for being here, everyone. Ed, how's your week been, man?
Man, so I'm doing a 12 books in 12 months this year. And I'm doing pretty well. Well, I should say that I was doing pretty well. So I don't know if I talked about this on the show previously or not, but in January, I read Cat's Cradle by Kurt Vonnegut, one of my favorite writers. And somehow I had never read Cat's Cradle. And man, a book is amazing. A book is so good. My February book was... The Grady Hendrix book Horror Store. It's like it's a very cool, like, if you physically have to own the book because it looks like an IKEA catalog, and the whole thing kind of lampoons IKEA. And so it's about like a haunted IKEA knockoff.
I think you told me about that actually.
It's a very fun book, and I had a good time with it. It's probably, to be honest, the I don't want to say the worst of his books, because that would imply that it's bad, but it's my least favorite of his. I think it's the least good of his books that I've read so far. I like everything so far that I've read of his, but that was definitely the least. But I found out that I'm pretty sure that was like either his first book or it was pretty close to his first book, so yeah, I can, you know, whatever, you know, first books are, you know, whatever.
Well, I mean, yeah, it sounds like creepypasta you'd find on Reddit.
But then that was February, and then I was like, okay, so for March, I was looking at my bookshelves, and I was like, oh, you know what, man, I have owned for years, I have, and never read Starship Troopers, and I love the movie Starship Troopers, and I know that purists out there, people that love the book, are like, the movie is that they shouldn't even call it Starship Troopers, it's so bad, and I'm like, I personally love Starship Troopers. It's funny. It's a satire of fascism. It's good action. Casper Van Dien is a terrible actor, but he's from like 5 miles from my house, so I can't hate on the guy.
Is he?
Yeah, he's from Milton.
Oh my God, I had no idea.
Yep. So I can't hate on the guy, because he plays that role, like, you know, so. With a lot of gusto, and I can't really hate on him for that movie. It's a very fun movie. It's also one of those things where, as a Warhammer fan, I know that we're probably never going to get a big budget Warhammer movie, and that's one of the closest things to a Warhammer movie we're probably ever going to get. So I like it because of that. Henry Cavill's making waves that, you know, there's all this stuff's going to happen for Amazon, but you know, we'll see. Mm-hmm. But you know, if we don't ever, and that's the closest thing we get to like a 40K Imperial Guard movie, then, you know, that's, you know, it is what it is, and that's fine. So I love Star Trek. I've watched that movie probably 20 times. I think it's great. Mm-hmm. I know people that are like just vehemently hate the movie. They're like, the book is so much better. And I'm like, cool. I guess I need to read this book. And they go on and on about how cool all this stuff with because in the movie they were like soldiers that wore like flak armor. They looked like the colonial marines from Aliens. Mm-hmm. Basically. They're dudes with rifles and whatever. They were just basically like army men in the future. In the book, though, they wore these giant like power armor suits, and I think it was one of the first books that ever, you know, really talked about, you know, power armor, you know, as like a, you know, like a, you know, like a mech suit, you know, or whatever, that, you know, that had, you know, made you strong, and you could, you know, jetpack, and had weapons built in, and yeah, and all this stuff. And so people talk about how amazing this is. I'm gonna tell you, dude. So out of that book is 280 pages, and probably 20 pages of that are actual power armor action scenes. And I don't know how. I'm like, okay, well, cool. I don't know how. Like, I just forgot that stuff because the vast majority of the book is a conversation between the main character and like his teacher about the values of fascism, and the value of fascism as a form of as a form of government. And it is real. It's real bad, and it's real boring, and it is a slog. It took me 6 weeks to. I didn't think I was like, well, I've totally blown my. My 12 and 12 is
You
I've
can make
gone
it up.
into, and well, I listened to Dave Grohl's autobiography as an audiobook to as a little to pad it out a little bit, but no, I finished it and man, it is it's the worst thing I've ever read. It is literally the worst book I've ever read. I hated every second of it outside of the mech scenes, and even those are like they're not that good. It was written in like 1956 or something like that, like. It's dull. I've read so much better stuff since then.
Yeah,
But so
I'll be honest with you. I'm one of those people. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I'm one of those people who I'd always heard "Stranger in a Strange Land" was a fantastic book to read.
Yeah.
And I picked it up. God, I think I picked it up maybe 10 years ago. And I got the unabridged version. So it's like the full.
It's big. Yeah.
Yeah. And it drones on about the most nonsensical, useless stuff that I don't care about.
Yeah.
And I've heard like, man, you gotta read Heinlein. I like Asimov. I really do. I like his robots books. His you know, I never never finished reading him. But he does meander a bit, but it's all into the point of the story. When I read Stranger in the Strange Land, it just got boring to me. And I was so felt so bad. I'm like, I'm a bad sci-fi fan. I don't even like this.
I felt the same way reading this because you
Yeah.
know there were big swaths of this book where it was just him like describing like basic training and I'm like this is dull and like towards the end where you know you should ramp up to like a crescendo of something or another.
Yeah.
I was like 30 pages out from the end and he was just going on about the structure of the mobile infantry. Like, well, this guy commanded 100 guys and the sergeant control you know he commanded 40 guys and then under the sergeant and it's like I don't care about any of this. This is so bad. But so
You
I
know,
decided that normally I will just give my you know books that I love I like to keep. I like to have a decent curated library that I own of my paper books. This but so we have a one of those little libraries in our neighborhood and I was like I'm not like I could throw this book in the garbage, but I'm just gonna go doing it to the little library. So, but when I was going out, I found in the back of it. Apparently, around the time that I bought this book in 2009, I got a pizza, and I guess I got a pizza at the same time, and I used that pizza receipt as a bookmark. I guess the first time I tried to read this this pile of garbage. And so there was a 2009, a 15-year-old pizza receipt in here. So I was like, oh. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And I was like, you know what? I feel kind of bad someone picking this book up and reading it. So I'm going to leave them a note. So I curated a list of things better than the book Starship Troopers. Number one, the movie Starship Troopers by Paul Verhoeven. The song Starship Trooper by the band Yes. The song The Trooper by Iron Maiden. The band Starship and on and on and on. And so yeah, I felt kind of bad about this. But yeah, I left it in the little library like last week and it's still there. No one has taken this. But fortune of fortunes though, when I dropped it off, I found a very nice copy of American Gods by Neil Gaiman.
Love
and
that.
also a very nice hardcover, essential Clive Barker.
Very cool. I'm a big fan of American Gods.
I'm a huge
I
fan
got
of
I got reading it because our mutual associate Mayo, he wanted to run
No, I was yeah, I was in that
you're in
same
that yeah yeah,
yeah, I was in
and
that same.
I had a hard time getting into it, but the book I love the book.
The book is
I've read that again. And actually, there's a great audiobook, a full cast audiobook. That's really good. as well.
I have that, and I have the single reader version as well, and I actually prefer the single reader version of that.
Really?
I know that the cast is cool, but I'm not a huge fan of full cast readings of books usually.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I'm not getting an audiobook. I feel like what I feel like a lot of times is like, you remember when you were in school and you would like be studying like a book or a play or something like that, and your teacher would just randomly go, "You read this part, you read this part, you read this part." I feel
Yeah.
like I'm sitting in one of those, and I hated those things.
Okay.
But
That's fair. I mean, honestly though, they did the same thing with Sandman, which is fantastic full ensemble
I hear
audiobook.
that. Yeah, I hear it's good. I hear it's good. It's just not,
It's
it's just
so
not, I don't think
good,
it's for me.
man. Yeah, but you know it's actually better than I remember this episode.
Autobots. Yeah. You messaged me the other day and you're like, it's a bad one. And I'm like, oh God, here we go.
Okay, yeah. So I totally did. I messaged you like, "Hey, man, you want to do this week? Are you good for doing it?" Like, yes. Yeah, for fair warning, man, it's one of the bad episodes.
No,
And
it's
I
not.
went. It's not. It's
Cooler. No,
actually
it's
a lot
not.
of fun.
No, it's not.
I guess maybe it's less cringy now that I'm adult rather than trying to watch this when my dad walked in the room. Like, what's this? You know. Now I can like watch it and just like, you know. I kind of dig this, especially after the first run with Raoul and Trax. This is a nice
Okay.
like
Okay.
continuation.
So, all right. So, with this one, it's another David Wise
Yeah.
episode. And okay, and I was like, oh, David Wise, okay, cool. Yeah, I was like, we've talked about him, and I had to do a refresher, and I was like, oh, he was that guy that like was like a child like prodigy filmmaker and then went and studied science fiction with like Isaac Asimov and all these other writers at this like science fiction conservatory. And I'm like, what a
Yeah.
cool yeah, that guy, yeah, this guy's awesome. So we started off though, and I was just taking it. I was like, eh, whatever. I had no memory of any previous episodes, and I'm like, oh, we got some punk rockers waiting to get into a club, and I'm like, oh God, they're gonna be, what's going on with 80s punk rockers? What are they doing? What are these guys doing? But
Dude, I dug this.
so well, so did I. But I was like, oh, what are they gonna be doing in there? What's going on in the Dance-a-tron, the hottest club in town, the Dance-a-tron? I was like, all
Yeah,
right, cool.
yeah. Dude,
So we've
I was totally into them, like they're breakdancing in front of the club.
we've got three other punk rockers here. I didn't recognize this one dude. We'll get to that in a second, because I was up in arms about this for a minute, and I'll tell you why in a minute. But yeah, we get these three dudes. We get one guy who has anime hair. He's got this one dude looks like he's out of Robotech. He's like his helmet like would crush that giant hairdo down. He's like Roy, like Rick Hunter. We've
Of
got like a
was.
kind of, yeah, he was. We got kind of a plain looking dude, and then we have like a black dude that has like the like a cap, like he's from like Fat Albert,
Yeah, it was like he's like it was like was that
Riff Raff, or
Riff
not
Raff.
Mushmouth, or whatever his name
Yeah,
was.
any of those guys, he could have been an extra in Fat Albert. Yeah, and he had a
Yeah, but the
really
thing is,
nice scarf on too.
See, he has this voice, like he's got this like real soft, high pitched voice, and it might be the same guy, because in the network version of Fast Times at Ridgemont High, there's the part where they crack up, they crash Forrest Whitaker's car, right? Like Sean Penn like crashes Forrest Whitaker's like
Yeah.
Trans Am or whatever, and so in the regular version. Or no, this is before he crashes it up, but they go up, one of the guys goes up and he's like, hey, nice car, buddy. And in the normal version, Forrest Whitaker goes, don't F with it. But in the like the TBS version, which I've seen a lot more than the regular version, they dubbed in a dude going, don't fool with it. And
Actually, this guy, he looked like, do you remember, was it a rerun? What show is that?
he did that rerun was from What's Happening,
Yes, he looks like the rerun from What's Happening. Well,
but skinny,
not as
but
thick.
skinny. Yeah, because rerun was open.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I can see that. But so th these but yeah. So these three guys are breakdancing out front, and this is cool because they've got the cardboard and everything, and
Dude.
that's a good touch, because that
It's
was the
nice.
thing. You had to have the cardboard back then. But these dudes, some these random punk rockers go into the club though. Not the three, not who are gonna be important, but they go in, we get an interior shot of the club, and what What are they dancing to?
Dun it, dun it, dun it, dun it, dun
Cold
it. House
Slither.
music.
Cold Slither. Remember
Man,
dancing.
Jehu would be so happy hearing this
It's the
music.
one. It's the one song.
It
And
is.
but see, that's the thing. Knowing what we know about Cold Slither, and then this, they should have known something was up. But
Yeah, man.
But
Totally.
we'll get to that. We'll get to that though. So
yeah, man. Like the punk from Star Trek 4 kicks them off the sidewalk.
Yeah. Yeah, it's this dude comes. Well, this dude comes up. He looks like a dude from House Goliath from Warhammer 40,000. He's a giant buff wrestler dude with a big mohawk and some spikes on. He looks like miniatures that I play the game with on a regular basis. This was real. I was real into this. I like this guy a lot. I wish this guy had some more screen time. He was real cool.
Yeah, man. Though every he like he says get up the get off the sidewalk. This is Blanced. Belongs to Dancetron, and every other punk crowds up behind him. And dude, there is one guy who's like 8 feet tall in the back. There's also another guy who has like this like shoulder pad strap thing going across him. And he's
Yeah.
got like a Roman helm on.
Yeah, these dudes are cool. There's a
They're
lot of cool
great,
guys.
man. They look like some crazy like I don't know like God, what was the God, I'm trying to think of the game that we it was the modern version of Earth Dawn.
Shadowrun. This was
Shadowrun.
like
It
this was
looked
like
like a
Shadow. Yeah, this was
Shadowrun
like
game.
Shadowrun. Yeah. Yeah.
Dude,
You're right. This was a lot like a
there
Shadowrun.
should have been an orc in there somewhere, or like a goblin, or some elves. But
We get a big chase, and
yeah,
like randomly, like a dude that looks like Abraham Lincoln is watching them get chased. This guy was cool. I like this guy.
Chinstrap beard.
So,
Yes.
but here's where it starts to get crazy though. So our three breakdancers, they're running and they know they're gonna get caught by this giant mob of rejects from Necromunda, and so they jump on a dumpster and they
Yes.
take a ride on a dumpster. Like this thing is just like free wheels, like down the river, like somehow the fastest mode of transportation here is a dumpster on like a New York dumpster on wheels. So oh God. And here we go, where I was like, dude, I just threw my arms up. I was like, I'm done with this episode. Because they go past an alley, and who do we see hanging out in the alley? Trax.
Max.
Trax once again hanging out in the inner city, just hanging out, doing nothing. And I was like, well, wait a minute. Did David Wise write that last one where Trax was doing the same thing where he was hanging out in
Make
the city?
tracks.
What's that?
Make tracks.
Make Trax. David Wise wrote Make Trax. And
Yeah.
I was like, he just recycled, knowing what we know now after we've interviewed luminaries in the Transformers field, like just pitch all your ideas. And he just pitched the same idea four times and they bought it twice.
Yeah,
And
definitely.
like good for David Wise. But then I was like, and there's some city rats going on. And that's when it dawned on me that I was like, oh, it's Raoul. He's a repeat
Yeah,
character.
man, you heard that voice. And he even commented like, man, if this was a real blaster, he would transform and teach them the business or whatever he said.
Yeah, but yeah, because they were carrying a giant boombox around them.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, how does this dude know about Blaster? But now I'm like, and I was putting it
That's
together, and I was like,
cool.
oh, this is actually some cool little continuity here. This is neat, and I like that it was so long between
Yeah.
those. So
So,
that
one
was
character.
cool.
Yeah, so they end up they jump into the dumpster and they're riding the dumpster and they're like one of those I guess elevator things comes down to the
I don't
sidewalk.
know what that was. Something like an elevator came up out of the ground with garbage or something in it. I don't know what it was. Like, look, I've never been to New York City. I don't know if these are a real thing. I've been reading 70s and 80s Marvel comics, which are all set in New York City, and I've seen a lot of, and like I've read enough like Ninja Turtles comics to I don't think this is a real thing. I
Dude,
don't know.
they
Like,
had one of these things in like Shaun of the Dead.
Hey, look, if you live in New York or in a big city and you have giant elevators that bring things out on the sidewalk, edhatestransformers@gmail.com. Let me know, because
Please
I'm real
do.
curious. I'm real curious now.
So yeah, they hit the panel sitting up. I guess the panel for the sidewalk elevator cover is so strong that this dumpster hits it. They tumble into it, and they do the whole Scooby-Doo like grab their hands and pull themselves up.
So,
All
yeah.
together.
Yeah, what was funny for a second, I thought they colored everybody's hands wrong. I thought they gave Raul like the black guy's hands, but it turns out that he had gloves on.
Oh man.
And I was like, oh, at least there was some, at least, yeah, okay,
covered it.
That's fine. So we find out though that those guys' names are Poplock and Rocksteady.
Yes, dude.
Like a proto Rocksteady here.
I gotta give it to David Wise, and Poplock is a good get for a name for a breakdancing troupe, man.
Poplock is those are both great breakdancing.
Yeah, Rocksteady and Poplock
for that era. That's real, like, I mean, that's real.
He has the worst name, Raul. He is the worst name of the bunch.
I mean, what would you call him though?
I don't know, man. The worm.
What was your breakdance name when you were a kid? Did you breakdance when you were a kid?
I did
a lot of
breakdance really well, actually.
What's up?
I did the worm really well.
Did you have a breakdance name though?
I don't remember if I did or not. I don't think I did.
My buddy Ryan, who I've talked about before, we had breakdance names, and there was like one time where we were at like a school carnival. And we each got our breakdance names on these little bracelets. You know, those bracelets that have like the plate and then the chain. We got our breakdance names in cursive on those things, dude. When I was in like fourth grade, and I was like, man, I'm the coolest dude on the face of the earth.
What is it?
I don't remember.
Dude, you set us up for that. You don't even remember?
Honestly, what a
ripcord.
I think that Ryan got Mr. Pop, I think was what he, I think was,
That's
was
a
his.
Pretty good one, though.
And I think that mine, I think, was like, because my last name is Strickland, half my family called me Strick. And I thought that was cool and it would look cool in graffiti. So I think that I had Strick on mine. I'm having a hard time remembering. Ryan, if you remember us getting the bracelets at the school carnival, hit me up.
Is this the same Ryan who lost your ace on the roof?
No, that was Brian.
Brian. Oh, I'm sorry.
Brian.
That's what.
No, Brian is the dude that ended up being an Alex Jones conspiracy nut. Ryan, who I still talk to occasionally, is still a great dude and is a paramedic. And
nice.
It was cool because when we were kids, he was obsessed with being a fireman, and he is like one of the only people I know in my life that was like, when like we were kids, we're like, you grow up, you're like, you know, everybody's like, I'm going to be a pilot, I'm going to be an astronaut, I'm going to be a fireman. He's the only dude I know that from like age 7 until now, he's the dude that did all that. And I think that's really cool. And
I'm a little jealous. My one of my major dreams was to be a scientist. I went to school for science. I still sell wine. I would love to be I guess technically I am a scientist, but not like a working scientist. So there's that.
How's your breakdancing now these days, though?
Dude, I might break my back if I try. My sciatic is definitely going to go out. So, yeah, that's how it is, probably. My shoulder is probably going to come out of socket. That's how my breakdancing is.
So,
oh.
There's a big brawl between between the Autobots and Raul's crew and these and the Mohawk guy, the Goliath, the House Goliath,
oh, yeah.
Dude, the Bruiser's crew here. And Trax freaks out, but he's got this, he's got that Harvard accent, and he goes, "What the deuce?"
"What the deuce?
What the deuce?" Yeah, this was real funny. Things get a little chaotic, and they cut back to the interior of the club, and there's a dude sitting at the bar wearing a Frankie Goes to Hollywood shirt, but he has hair like Doc Brown from Back to the Future.
Oh, that's right, cool. He does. I remember this guy. He was the one who was like, "Hey man, where'd you get those threads?"
Yeah, he goes up to it like Trax and asks him where he got his threads, like his
Soho,
like his 15-foot tall robot that like he's wearing metal. There's a place in the bar, a bar within the bar called the Video Lounge. I want to know what goes on in there because I bet it's cool.
Probably, yeah.
I mean, the word video back in the 80s was a.
Everything was
cool. It was a cool word, though.
Yeah, it's like it is now. What video then was essentially what digital was in the aughts, because everything digital was like the next step.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Like video was like that was like a buzzword back then.
Yeah.
Was,
oh yeah. Definitely.
Nobody really said that, you know, before. And then it was like once VCRs came out, you're like, video. Like, yeah. No, I mean, I bought a comic book called Video Jack once just because it was called Video Jack.
How was it?
I don't remember. I wish every now and then I think about Video Jack and I want to go back and find it, but I think it was like Marvel's Epic line put that out. And I think it was like an oversized magazine. So on the one hand, I want to track it down and buy it and read it. But on the other hand, I know that because like four people read that in the 80s, that it's never been reprinted in like a trade paperback. But and I don't want to own those magazines. I don't want to store those magazines anywhere, which keeps me from reading a lot of things that I want to read. Like I missed the Buzz Dixon episode, and I'm kicking myself because he mentioned Eclipse Comics, and I was a massive fan of Eclipse Comics. Dude, you cannot get any of that stuff. That stuff has not been reprinted anywhere.
So yeah, just so anyone listening to here, they haven't listened to that episode, please listen to it. He as well as Mike Hill want to come on again, so we definitely I'm gonna have a return to those guys. He was so cool to listen to, and I'm sure we just like scratched the surface of his experiences with like in the industry. So
if he wants to come back on, I would love to have him back on. He was that I listened to that episode today while I was playing video games, and that was very cool.
We could talk to him for 2 or 3 hours easy.
It's awesome. Stevie Nicks wants to dance with Trax, and she calls him cutie or shiny or something like that.
Shiny, yes.
Yeah. Raoul's crew, though, they get on the subway, and the subway conductor just randomly goes insane.
Dude, okay, so that could be a second. Blaster dances with a woman wearing like Marie Antoinette Vogue, and Trax refuses to dance with the other one. Like there's three of them. Like
it's like no way.
And the woman in the bathrobe and curlers dancing, and the guy in a business suit.
Dude, and Trax, and through this whole episode, gets mad that people from different economic classes are hanging out and dancing together.
He does.
Of course.
You're not in the same class.
Dude, of course Trax is the most classist of all the Transformers.
Yeah,
this dude, like,
what the deuce?
This dude's getting the guillotine in the French Revolution. I'm telling you. This dude's, he's like I'm on record saying before that he's cool, but
yeah,
like nah, man, I think he's going in with a geek squad for me, dude. He's losing points. He's losing points right now.
But I gotta say, the get on the train, the three punks on the train, and the conductor looks like he just remembered a time I read had to write this out when his uncle did something unspeakable to him. He's like, oh, then he like goes, yeah. And he pulls the lever and starts going really, really fast. It's like ultimate horror on his face. And then like, yeah, I'm going to kill these guys. Like dude, in an instant of like 2 seconds.
And he freaked out. Like he just totally freaked out. So, yeah. So this guy was this guy. Like if you think about it though, like, you know, if you think about the end of the plot is like, this dude was hanging out at the Dance-a-tron. He had to have been hanging out at the Dance-a-tron to go crazy. Once he jams the throttle forward and he just smashes the control panel, which is the classic move when you want to sabotage a train. Oh, yeah. But they cut to an exterior shot, and the train is like on like an elevated track, which I don't think they have those in New York. I don't know. Again, never been in New York. I know they have those in Chicago though. They call them the L's, right?
Yes, I've been on the L. So,
right. Maybe they do have them in New York.
They probably do.
No, I think that you know what. Here's my expert opinion on this is the fact that I just got through playing Spider-Man Miles Morales on the PlayStation, and there was one thing where you have to jump on one of those moving trains like that and get a little collectible. So I'm gonna reverse my previous thing and say yes, they are probably in New York because of the famously historically accurate video game Spider-Man Miles Morales.
Well, if anything, it can be gleaned from this is Spider-Man always have the historical reference points.
Oh yeah, always. Yeah. Always.
Well, look at Tobey Maguire. He stopped one on a elevated track.
You're absolutely right. Dude. I totally forgot about that. But they cut to an exterior shot, and there's people are just like hanging off the outside of this train, like they're like hanging out of the windows. Like I'm like, what are you like? You're like 100 feet up in the air. What are you gonna accomplish here?
Yeah, Raoul pulls the like emergency brake line and it snaps.
It breaks.
Yes.
They pass the billboard for red wine.
I was actually going to go back and look at the little things in the episode. I noticed a few here and there, but nothing really like Make Tracks. Make Tracks was
No,
cool stuff.
yeah, I was really hoping there was going to be a lot more of the whole like anime city or city at night vibe thing, like the last Tracks episode had, because it was just like, I remember, like, I think I probably spent a third of the episode talking about billboards and
Yeah,
signs
and
and
we actually
shops.
got a
It
lot of
was
those
great.
pictures. Boo got a
Loved
lot
it.
of those little scenes for us to put in the YouTube.
But there was and this one out so far, there hasn't really been anything except for the
Yeah.
red wine, and it was an ad in the subway platform for women.
Is that where the Marie Antoinette Vogue girls came from?
I'm sure.
Women.
They're women.
Yeah.
I guess they're
I
women.
mean, I would assume yes. I don't know. I guess what they see, like, Trax and Blaster are just like, yeah, well, let's just keep a lookout for what's going on with this Danzatron. And the train goes past them. It's like, that train is heading about 100 miles per hour too fast.
100 miles per hour too fast.
I don't
How
think it
fast are
was
they supposed to
remember.
go?
Yeah, I don't think it was
Like
actually that
that's
fast,
good
Trax.
Lord.
But he hits in his cool, he does
He goes in
the
the third, he
coolest.
goes in the third mode.
Yeah, he does the
In the
coolest Trax
third.
thing. He transforms, gets Trax there. He does a really cool thing. He gets on the track. He's running behind it. He shoots an Inspector Gadget grappling hook thing out of his hood.
It was like the dude from that show Cops.
Yes.
Where he had the handcuff that would come out. He had like a retractable handcuff
Yeah, who
launcher
was
on his wrist.
the character's name? I actually watched
That
an episode
was
of
Long Arm.
Long Arm. That's right. I watched an episode of that recently. It's actually really good still. Future
Yeah, I
Cops.
would. I don't know. I wouldn't mind. Revisiting Cops. What did it say? What did it stand for? Did it stand for something?
Citizens.
Don't say Citizens on Patrol, because
No, it's not
you were
Citizens on
going for
Patrol.
Police Academy 4.
Oh man, now it's in my head. I can't think of anything else. Citizens on Patrol. so yeah, like Blaster, like, does a shimmy across the line that he's attached to the tracks attached to the train, jumps on there and like does the whole thing where you grip the outside. He's pulling a whole Tom Cruise like Mission Impossible thing on the outside of the train,
Shimmying outside
and
of it,
he
and
kicks
he
like
just
the
kicks it.
engine.
He just
Yeah, it
kicks the
blows up.
engine and kicks it on it stops. So, COPS stood for Central Organization of Police Specialists.
Thank you.
That's a good.
I
That's a
was
good. That's a good
yeah.
one.
And
That's a
actually,
good.
I was totally gonna go with the Citizen of Patrol. So I'm glad you stopped.
I knew because I was so was I. And then I was like, wait a
Hey,
minute. And I was like, no, that's
you
Sweet Chuck and Zed, dude. That's.
remember the other rap from that? Citizens on Patrol.
I remember the rap from that. I love those. Dude, I love
God.
those movies. Oh God. So
Fucking freaking Bobcat Goldthwait in that.
I
Jesus.
last week I spent I had some time off at work, some free time at work, and I put on a Bobcat Goldthwait stand-up special from 1987
Oh,
and had that on the
prime,
background. It was real good. It
prime.
was real good. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is prime Bobcat Goldthwait.
So, Raul says, some guys got the juice, some guys ain't. Is yeah, so the Autobots decide that they're gonna split up, and
Classic maneuver.
classic maneuver. So Raul's gonna go with Trax and Beba Rocksteady and Pop Lock.
Said the
I
same thing
knew
as
I was gonna
okay,
do
man.
that. They're mad though because they can't go ride in track. They want to go ride in Tracks too, but they have to go. They get to go to the Dancitron,
Yeah, with a giant boombox.
a giant boombox. They like, I
Come
can't get
on. How cool is that? If you're a break dancer in New York in the 80s and a giant boombox is going to go out with you, go hang out with you in the streets, why is that a problem?
dude. I would hang out my giant boombox now.
Right? And Blaster was on, he was on key in this episode too. Man, he was like throwing out the great slang.
He had a lot of good slang in
He
this.
did. It was great.
So Trax and Raul roll up to a construction site, and
Oh, yeah.
in the tabletop game Necromunda, which I've already referenced about 14 times in this episode, so the Goliaths are these giant steroid muscle bound wrestler guys, and
Yeah.
they work in like these forges, right? So but one of the weapons that they carry is a that they can carry in the game is a giant rivet gun. And
really,
what does this dude just start shooting these guys with? A giant rivet gun,
red hot rivets.
From the start, these guys are just House of Goliath from Necromunda. I'm very into this because I have like a whole slew of these little dudes, and like I love this. I was very into this.
Nice,
yeah. So but the whole gang that's working on this building a skyscraper. Keep put a pin on that too, because it's gonna come back in a second. They're building a skyscraper, and it's like three construction guys, like some girls, dude in a suit, four guys with mohawks.
Housewife,
break dancers. They're at it, and it's like 1 a.m. and they're building a skyscraper.
It makes sense to me.
Raul decides he's gonna fight these guys. He rolls up the he's got a bedazzled jacket on. He rolls up
this is like, cool, yeah, come on, let's do this.
He's gonna
track scraps like no
one of these track them now, man. We're not fighting these guys. No.
And he pulls them and like covers them from the rivet gun, and they escape from the construction site.
Yeah.
There's a lot of just like, oh, we know how to deal with this all of a sudden now kind of stuff in this episode. But yeah, so they end up, how do they end up back at Dancitron?
Well, Poplock and Rocksteady and Blaster all go to the Dancitron. Yeah. But like, so here's a question though, is they go in there and what's playing on the sound system? Cold Slither.
Yeah.
Cold Slither's playing again. Why is everybody lined up to go listen to Cold Slither? It's the only song that exists. You can hear it anywhere. Jazz is playing it when he's driving around.
Dude, okay. Look, I'm not to give spoilers here, but as the episode goes on, they stay in the and Dancitron longer. They get some really funky jazz horn.
There is another song in a minute.
Maybe there's something we're missing. We're only seeing those scenes with Cold Slither playing in the background. We should see more of it, and we do.
Poplock and Rocksteady try to pick up on two ladies that wandered in from anime. There's two girls from Bubblegum Crisis were hanging out in the Dancitron. That was very cool because as we talked about Bubblegum Crisis in the past and how and we're
it's in like they're not Neo Tokyo, they're in like you know 80s New York.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, New York gets a lot of its feeling from like, and Neo Tokyo gets a lot of feeling from 80s New York, but like futuristic style. So it actually kind of makes sense.
So they kind of wander around in there, but I guess that they get caught up in the so it comes to find out that you're getting hypnotized. That's the whole deal is that the Cold Slither is hypnotizing people and making them build a skyscraper. I think that's what they're trying to do. I don't really know what the end goal for this was, but Trax busts up in here and he invents the RoboCop creep. When he tries to get in, and he's but the doorman won't let him in. He's like, "Let me in, creep." Like, I was like, "God, he did the RoboCop. That was cool."
He's summarily, you know, captured.
They put him on a, they strapped him to a giant X, like in that, like they did with Wolverine in that one X-Men issue. But
you know, now, that or like how you know they people were crucified post. You know, Jesus times, they would put him on big crossbeam things and let him die. But apparently he was strapped to like speakers.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, that's some Guantanamo Bay business going on there.
Nice.
Yeah. But now we get to see what's in the video lounge, and what's in the video lounge is cooler than I could have ever like imagined. I was real into this because who's in there? Starscream and Soundwave. And they're up there like Daft Punk DJing in there. This is great. This is
great
the prototype.
Soundwave.
It's two actual robots in there instead of two dudes in robot suits.
This is a great Soundwave episode, also, which is
we're getting there.
Yeah, yeah.
We're gonna get there. Blaster's wandering around, and he opens up the door of the cassette thing on his chest.
Yeah,
and
he's like using it to do readings or like find the ultrasonic sounds.
Yeah.
You know,
he's finding the ultrasonic sound in a dance club.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, actually, this is where Raul is over there by the bar. He takes like napkins, stuffs them in his ears, because that obviously we know a napkin in your ear will blocks out any ultrasonic sounds.
There was also next to the napkins, there was some Tabasco sauce. Did you catch that?
I did not.
A bottle of Tabasco sauce there. Yeah.
Was he having eggs? I mean, I could be all about that.
I want to circle back to the fact that Blaster is searching for ultrasonic sound in a dance club. He's searching for the source of ultrasonic sound in a dance club where one of the walls is speakers.
Look, you know, I know what you're trying to say, but it's ultrasonic sound. It's not just sonic sound. It's ultrasonic.
Ultrasonic sound. Ultrasonic.
It's different. It's way different.
We get a replay of the Temple of Doom drinking the blood scene where Raul's friends were Pop Lock and Rocksteady are trying to like pulling the napkins out of his ears so he'll hear the sound and join in with him, and which he does for about 4 seconds, and then he figures out that if you spill some water on him, that it breaks the spell. So it's like the reverse of Temple of Doom, where you drink the blood and you get the fire. Now you hear the sound and you get the water and it cures you. This is cool because I like Temple of Doom, so I was into this.
Yeah, well, Temple of Doom definitely has its high points. And now we know that it's not the worst of the Indiana Jones movies.
It was never the worst of the Indiana
Jones. Oh, okay. One, three, and then two.
The only time it was ever the worst of the Indiana Jones is when it first came out and it wasn't quite as good as the first one. That's the only time it's ever been the worst. It's not the worst. See, saying the worst, this goes back to Grady Hendrix. Saying it's the worst implies that it's bad. It's not bad.
I'll give you that. So it's the worst of the three that are amazing.
It's the least great of the three.
Okay, yeah, I'll grant you that. It was the worst. The least of them. I think without her face, What's her name?
Kate Capshaw.
Yeah, but Kate. Well, her character's name.
Willie Scott.
Willie. Yeah, I think with Willie was a little less abrasive, it would have been fine.
I like it more than Last Crusade, honestly.
I don't know, man. I like Nazis as bad guys.
So do I, but it was so different. I mean, Temple of Doom was so different, and it's not just like this formulaic thing. It's like it's, you know, it had a totally different layout than
it did. I also like the I'll always like the stock footage of the alligators going. Rawr, 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 rawr. Like, let's give some fabric. It's like crocodiles. Cool. I'm sorry. Yeah,
there's something there. I mean, you got to rip a dude's hearts out, man. It was cool.
Well, yeah, I mean, ripping him out, or is he just pulling out?
End result's the same. You don't have your heart anymore. You know, you gotta pull out your chest.
That's not a fortune cookie. That kind of stuff. Yeah, yeah. Obviously, there's that. Yeah, but come on, Sean Connery.
Yeah, Sean Connery's good.
I don't know. The dog's name is Indy. That's the kind of stuff you get from the third one.
But we get a new song here though, and it has a trombone in it. It has a little trombone.
I dig the brass.
This is cool. But here we go. Boombox versus boombox.
I was so excited for this,
man. I'm so here for it. You know how much I love Soundwave, and I'm like, oh my god, it's a mirror match. It's, you know, it's like Ryu in the white gi versus Ryu in the red gi. I'm so excited for that. I'm so into this. Blaster says he's been waiting a long time for this. I'm like, well me too, buddy.
Yeah.
I know. You're just saying my words, and they have a little taunt battle here.
Yeah, they're like Blaster pulls up his leg and starts shooting concentric waves out of his leg, but like Soundwave is all like all talk, no shock.
Blaster calls Soundwave a poor excuse for a sound system. And okay, do you know what a sound system? Do you know the other term for sound system? As opposed to, you know, sound system, it's just a thing that makes sound, right? You know, like the Jamaican term for a sound system. Yeah. Do you know what this is? So, back in like the 50s and 60s, these dudes would build sound systems. They would just find like guys that would like play like reggae records. They were like DJs basically. They would just build. They would cobble together these things out of like whatever they could find. So it would end up being like a almost like a little like food cart, like a hot dog cart looking thing, but it was piled up with, you know, like 6 to 10 feet just full of speakers and like a
Nice.
receiver and a turntable. And that's and you know, they'd paint them and do all kinds of like crazy, you know, like dolls and stuff all over them or whatever. And I'm like, oh, oh, he kind of is a, because he's a, you know, like sound is more like a personal like micro cassette recorder and not like
Yeah.
a boom box. So he kind of is a sound, sorry excuse for a sound system, but that's still not as good as a burn as you're all talk and no shock.
Man, I love that.
I'm like, oh,
And
you're done.
dude, so they're beating the heck out of each other with the concentric waves, and like Soundwave knocks Blaster back and does this off-putting laugh. It was so off-putting.
This is great. Oh, this is great. But Blaster does a thing with his knee where he's like he's in a Captain Morgan commercial where he picks the knee up and he just blasts sound out of the speaker in his shin. And
So
and then we
yeah.
cut after this. I'm like, get back to that fight. I wanna it's like when Devastator forms and he just gets knocked out, he gets knocked into pieces like immediately, and you're like, man, come on, I need to see some
Wait,
more of this.
who? Wait.
Oh, when Devastor
Oh,
gets
thank you. Okay,
yeah,
I now know what you're talking about.
forms
Yeah,
and they form into
thanks.
Devastor.
Yeah, they're trying to free Trax up on the I guess speaker wall, and you know that all the thing kind of happens, and
Yeah.
you know, there's a whole deal going on. Like everyone's like kind of running. The speakers are all thing. He turns on the it's the water going, so everyone's confused. Like, what am I here for? And that's like, you know, Blaster is getting beat up over there in the fight. He looks down and sees two of those speakers, like they're like golden cones. Puts them on his hands, and he's like, he just goes after Soundwave does tumbles backwards. And yeah, he just summarily beats the crud out of him, and like Soundwave flies off.
He leveled up his sound system.
He did. He got a
He leveled
power
the
up
sound system
during
up.
the
He leveled
fight.
the sound system up here. This is real cool. This is real cool. This was real. That's Jamaican style. See, he's just cobbling it together.
Just taking what he
See?
can find, putting on his
Yeah.
hands
Yeah.
and
He found some
doing it.
speakers and he's all like, well, like, hey. So after they beat sound, there's like a little mini chase with Trax and Jetform chasing off Starscream. And it was just like, yeah, whatever. Like, because this episode was not about like Decepticons versus Autobots really at all.
No,
This was
yeah.
like you get that a little bit, but then Trax and Blaster and Raoul and Rocksteady and Poplock, they all go back to that skyscraper and blow it up.
Yep, he
They
pulls out
blow
those
it
new
up.
he pulls out his new Jamaican sound system and goes full on. And then like Trax just like, this isn't happening fast enough, pulls out his gun out and does this striking pose, bam, and blows up the entire first floor.
Blow the whole thing out, dude.
Dude,
And
I have to give you such props for not going Rocksteady and Bebop,
I did
because
the one time I
yeah,
knew what I was gonna do
I every
once.
time you say Rocksteady, I might my brain I'm like Bebop, but it's not, and I appreciate that. But yeah, they level this building, and oh yeah, actually before that, I'm sorry. Before that, what clears out this entire area is apparently Trax can go and seed clouds and start thunderstorms, and like starts a thunderstorm over the building. All the people are like, "What are we doing here?" Like, housewife drops a wrench, and they all leave. Oh yeah, and there's this like this loop footage of these guys in like white hard hats and orange shirts and black pants running. It was a
Running out.
very speed racer, like that loop
It
footage
was,
kind of stuff you see in Speed
yeah.
Racer. Yeah, so they get out.
I was kind of bummed out that it wasn't dudes that look just like Sparkplug, because we haven't seen Sparkplug in a long time.
There's one guy who's wearing close to the style. It's like a it was yellow hat and like that kind of khaki, you know, brownish shirt. And I'm like, he just is there for an instant. And like it was just
Where's
almost like
Sparkplug?
an
We haven't
Easter
seen
egg.
Sparkplug in a long time. Like, what's going on with
Yeah.
that? I just thought of this. Where has he been? What's
Well, I mean, they end up as you well know in the New York City base, which is was it Sparky's or Spark Plugs? So I don't know, man. He's maybe he's off learning a new career. Maybe we're gonna find out next that he's learned how to he's become a cardiologist just because, yeah, why not? He's done all these other things.
He's done everything else, yeah.
Yeah.
So and that was it. And that was it.
Yeah.
They blew the building up, and that was the end of the episode.
Well, you
And
know, the guys are like, well, you lost our boom box. And Buster's like, oh no. oh no, because you know they save tracks, you know, like so it ends with them on the cardboard again, and Blaster's playing, you know, music out of the ghetto blaster form that he is, and tracks they're like, yeah,
He's
man,
snapping his fingers the whole time. He's snapping his fingers.
it's
Meanwhile,
like it, this
Rocksteady and
these
Pop
crazy
Lock are
kids,
like breakdancing for money, and they're getting all this money to save up and
dude, they're
buy a new
getting gold
boombox.
coins. You saw that
They
gold
were
coins.
throwing gold coins at him.
I guess this is the same world as like as Cobra and G.I. Joe,
Maybe it is.
because
Maybe it
Cobra
is.
loves gold as well.
By the way, Rocksteady is a subgenre of reggae. Just to
Yeah.
put it out here.
Well, just like, well, I didn't know that it was of reggae, but bebop is a is a is a is
Is
a
jazz
subgenre.
of jazz, yeah.
Yeah. So it was actually really cool. Pop lock being a form, a move on breakdancing, but
Breakdancing,
yeah.
yeah.
So
So,
it was really cool to see these actually nods to different things,
yeah.
considering there was a nice brass section in that song of Cold Sleather as it progressed. So there we go, your bebop.
Yeah. So
But
yeah, that was it. This episode was actually a lot of fun. I liked this way more than I thought I would. It was kind of bad, to be honest. To be honest, I mean, technically, from a technical point of view, it's kind of bad. I
yeah.
felt like if we hadn't just watched Cold Slither, I might have been like, but it was real close to Cold. It was real close to Cold Slither, as far as like oh yeah, so they're getting hypnotized by, you know, by this. I felt like it went off the rails a whole lot from that, because that ended up being kind of pointless. You know, I
It's
mean,
almost like a
like,
subplot.
yeah, kind of, yeah. I mean, it. I don't know. It kind of was. It was more like a like it was just the MacGuffin, just to show like breakdancing in New York, because I mean, breakdancing was was big in this time. I mean, like, breakdancing was like massive. Oh yeah. But I mean, that's fine, because I mean, that's, I don't know, it's like, I don't know, I mean, I don't feel like you really see that kind of stuff, you know, like anymore. You know, like shows that, you know, like the X of the week, you know, that let's cover whatever's going on right now. Like, you don't really see that kind of stuff anymore. And I was listening to a podcast the other day that was talking about Chips, about the show Chips. You ever watch Chips? You
Yeah,
ever hear
yeah.
of Chips? I was a massive fan of Chips when I was a
Yeah,
kid.
like California Highway Patrol.
But there was a but th this podcast was covering the punk episodes of shows, and the famously the most famous of the punk episodes was one of the show Quincy, where but there was also a punk episode of Silver Spoons, and one of I think like Clarissa Explains It All, and but there was one of Chips also, where Chips had to help out like a punk band. But there was two like warring punk bands in this one. That one was stealing the other one's gear or something like that. So they had to, you know, Ponch had to investigate this. I don't know why he was investigating it, because he's a highway patrol guy. He just writes tickets. Ponch and Baker just write tickets, is all they do. I don't know why they were constantly solving crimes, but I mean, you don't really see that kind of stuff anymore. You don't get like a random like Taylor Swift episode of like Fargo or something like that, you know, like you know,
That would
or
be something I'd like to see, though.
you know, yeah, you know what I'm saying? You don't really see that. So, but I mean, with this, it's like, I feel like the only thing that really does that is like South Park, because they make those shows in like 4 days, and they can just like, hey, this is happening right now. So let's make fun of this thing right now. So, but no, that said, I mean, like, even though I said I say it's bad, it wasn't bad. It was a lot of fun. I don't think that Kid Brain would have really been into this episode, because there wasn't a whole lot of Transformers stuff going on until the boombox battle at the end. I would have been really into that, because that's like, you know, you get the mirror match going on. Kid Brain's gonna throw out two, just because there was a whole lot to sit through before. You know, you gotta do like trains and stuff, and like, 8-year-old me is not gonna care about this stuff. So I'm gonna throw out two unpainted Necromunda Goliath figures with rivet guns, poorly primed. Adult Brain though had a really good time with this. I thought it was a fun episode. Cool callbacks to other episodes. And I gave it a lower rating, but I'm on the spot here. And this is a first. I'm bumping it up to four cobbled together sound systems playing dub plates of King Tubby remixing Scientist. Out of five.
That's fantastic. Man, I gotta tell you though,
that's some deep cuts for you
that
guys.
That is some deep cuts. Guys don't know King Tubby and Scientist. I need to ask you later about that.
Listen to Scientist Battles the Vampires. That's a good record.
Thanks. I told you earlier, like, this is a particularly bad episode a few days ago. And
you're wrong.
I was wrong about anything. I was wrong. I had a long day today. A little behind the scenes here. I got Ed to help record this a little later than usual. It was just long, and I'm like, I got home and I just had to start watching it. I was trying to cook dinner. I couldn't really pay attention. I'm like, man, this is actually kind of fun. So after dinner, I sat down there. I watched it. I watched through it. I'm like, man, this is a lot better than I remembered. But I think it's the idea that when you're a kid, like you said, kid brain, not as much into this. It was a little cringy as a kid, especially when a parent would walk in, what are you watching? I totally understand that. I definitely I don't know if I can get into this as a kid. But man, nowadays, go back and watching this is a lot of fun. And I like all the little subtle, callbacks to different things. You know, like we're saying, like Rocksteady, we're saying Pop Lock. And man, I can't believe I forgot that this was like one of the first times where Soundwave and Blaster just go at it. By the way, they had a really good battle in the later Japanese series, Headmasters, which is pretty brutal. But all this is great. Even the point of listening to Cole Slither over and over again for like 10 minutes of the entire episode, the whole music plot was really not that important compared to the rest of the flipping episode. I loved this. And I, by the way, I got to tell you, man, how you mentioned South Park, always has like things that are very, very prescient. You heard about the guy who self-immolated in front of the courthouse in New York, right?
Yeah.
He was apparently a Simpsons conspiracy theorist.
Oh, one of those guys?
He had like a 53-page manifesto about referencing different points in the Simpsons episodes and how they were like just like real life. And yeah, so you said that, I'm like, oh, that kind of struck a memory. So that happened this week, by the way, everyone. Crazy stuff. But I'll say I was wrong. I remember not like this as much when I was younger, but now I'm gonna go back to watching it. It's a lot of fun. I'm definitely gonna have to go against what I said and apologize for my bad comments about the episode. And I will definitely give it I'll give it 3.5 reruns out of 5.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was.
This begs the question, though: was there? Did anyone ever make a figure of Raoul?
Yes, actually, I might have one. Oh, sorry, God. I have a little figure of Raoul.
Oh Lord!
Not okay. Yes, I do. I'll have to find it at some point. It came with the Masterpiece tracks. It's like this tall.
Nice.
All right. Yeah, and he also came with a little blaster. So you could pretend and like do your own version of this episode if you so choose. So yeah, it's all a legitimate thing, and they went all out. Masterpiece figures are great for that sort of thing.
Awesome.
There you go. There is an official Raoul figure, although he just stands, he's like this tall and doesn't move at all. Still cool.
Good enough.
Yeah, man. Everyone, thanks for checking us out this week. We are like a little more than a dozen episodes out of the end of season two. We are closing in. It feels like the longest. It feels like reading Star Trek Troopers. I get it, but we're getting to that last 30 minutes or 30 pages. Actually, stuff happening.
Nothing happens in the last 30 pages. Okay, of Star Trek Troopers,
that one 20 page span where there's power armor.
That's in the beginning of the book.
Oh God, you get the best parts in the beginning.
That's the beginning of the book.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, no, this is actually you're. Okay. Next week we have Prime Target. I believe Prime Target is the introduction of the Geraldo Rivera character that Buzz Dixon created.
Oh. Yeah,
dude, Buzz Dixon, he was all about the low key, just throwing shade at people. He threw the shade of evangelists. Geraldo Rivera.
I got that. That's yeah, that's pretty funny. Good for him.
I totally dug it. That was so much fun. And I hope you, man, we're gonna find a time when I know you can be on it and we can do this episode with Buzz next time. I don't think we should get Mike Hill and Buzz at the same time on there, so they can like have a little, you know.
That would be very cool if they're if they're available. That would be awesome. Yeah.
We'll work
especially
on
if, especially if there's a like an episode or a topic or something that they both worked on together that we can. Yeah. We can work into that. So, but yeah, that's
an Autobop, and we are through this, man. Let's move on, keep on moving on until we're done with this season. And thanks for everyone for being here. edhitstransformers@gmail.com, morethanmeetsetheyes@gmail.com. Check out the Discord. The link will be in the show notes. And man, check out the interviews we've had, Mike Hill and Buzz Dixon. And well, I mean, for that that matter, go back and listen to the other interviews we've had. Jessica Giovanni and David Kay. And I'm working on another big one here soon. I will get with you about that offline at some point. And until then, everyone, thanks for being here. And check it, leave a little rating if you wouldn't mind. Give us a thumbs up or whatever you want to do. We'd appreciate that very much. Ed, do you have anything to take us out with?
No. I really just want to watch RoboCop now.
I'll say RoboCop and Star Trek Troopers, and those movies were the best social commentary of our growing up.
Well, they're both Paul Verhoeven movies. I was a grown adult when Star Trek Troopers came out, though.
Well, so was I, but I mean that of our I guess our growing up and becoming adults, we got heavy handed commentary from Paul Verhoeven. Big fan of that. So
yeah, and then he made Showgirls.
Yeah.
Roll out.
See everyone. Bye.
'Mises Guys is performed by Evan Johns and Ed Strickland with Boo of the Excellent Underground.com. Research is also done by Evan Johns, Ed Strickland, and Boo of the Excellent Underground.com. All used images are property of Hasbro, Sunbow, Paramount, and/or Marvel. And without you, none of this would be possible. So thank you so much for being here, and we look forward to you being here every week.